Hello and welcome to night school today. I am very sorry. I'd like to apologize for taking our time. I had to quickly cut something before coming into the meeting. Today we want to look at a very crucial and important subject as believers, and it is so important for us that we understand how these two subjects operate and what role they play in the life of a believer. What we are looking at today, excuse me, is what I love to call planning and faith. Planning and faith. The Lord Jesus, while teaching the disciples, said something crucial. He said, "Who amongst you, or have you seen a man who wants to build a house, but does not count the cost of the house first before he starts to build?" He said, "If a man should try that thing," he said, "such a man will start a building, but will be unable to complete it. And it will become a laughing stock." So, even the Lord Jesus said that planning is essential to getting results as a believer. So, being a Christian is not automatically against plan. Are we together now? But as believers, we are meant to live by faith. We are meant to live by faith. Book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17. That's not where we're going. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." As it is written, rather, the B part, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, how do we live with by faith and still counts the cost of what we want to do in faith? I want to get it now. This is what we are looking at. How do we live by faith? But at the same time, plan what we intend to do, what we want to achieve by faith. We still have to plan for it. So, how do we make these plannings and still be able to operate faith? Now, if a believer is going to be successful, or say lead a successful life, we have to adopt a systematic way to living. A simple but systematic way. And one of those things that we need to do is to find a perfect combination of faith and planning. Now, Numbers chapter 13. We're reading the book of Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. And we're considering a story of a people that have heard from God, that God has spoken to them, that God is working through them. I mean, that God is with them, that God was for them. He has given them a number of promises, just as he has given you. A lot of prophecies has been said about these people, just as have been said about you. I want to get it now. But these people reached a crucial stage in their lives, and we're going to see how they handled it. Numbers chapter 13, from verse 17 to 33. I'll be reading all scriptures in my hand to avoid any interruptions. Numbers chapter 13, from verse 17 to 33. Praise God. Numbers 13. Let's start from 17. And now, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, Go you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain. He said, verse 18, see the land, what it is, and the people that dwells therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be you of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now, these were people that God had told them that is going to lead them by a mighty hand into an inheritance. Even as the way God has told you that he wants you to show the exceeding riches of his grace to the rest of the world. He has told you, given you many promises. He has revealed his word to you personally. There have been prophecies about you. I want you to see yourself this evening, even as we're looking at the story of a different set of people. Now, these people led by Moses were about to enter, take a step into the land where God had promised them. And they decided to do the proper thing to plan. And in order to plan, Moses sent spies into the land to gather information. Now, settle this now. It is good to plan. It is good to gather information. It is good to learn about what you intend to do. I want to get it now. Moses said they told them, go and spy out the land. See what it is. Get as many details as you can get about the land. Surely, Moses was a man that could communicate with God. He didn't just sit down and begin to talk to God and ask God what kind of land it was. No. He decided to get a detailed analysis of that land. And there is no crime in that. Please pay attention. There is only a problem when you allow the information that you have gotten, okay, stand between you and the revelation God has given you. Let me put it another way. When you allow the information you gather in the midst of your planning to determine how you think and interpret the revelation God has given to you, then there is a problem. In other words, the information you are gathering must not come between you. I mean, must not come between, how do you put it now? Your experience of God, your expectation, and God. It must not hinder your expectation from God. You see, it is so important we understand some things that when we plan, okay. It is in the planning process that objectives are mapped out, that tasks are being mapped out, that the process of how is being mapped out. Hallelujah. It is at this stage that it is important for you to set the line between what you can do and what God is expected to do. And this is the problem of spies. When Moses sent them out, he told them to gather information. He didn't ask them to gather a verdict. I want to get it now. He didn't tell them to gather a conclusion or a prophecy. Gather information. And this is where many people lose it. in the planning process, when they begin to see the length and breadth and width and size of the problem they are in, or the problem they are about to solve, they begin to conclude that some things are just impossible and begin to limit God. We must come to a point where we are so open-minded to see what God has said before we plan. Lesson number one. Learn to see what God has said first before you begin to gather information about what you intend to do. These were a people. Praise God. They were a people. Moses sent them out to gather information. But majority of them did not have a picture of what God has said in their minds. Listen to me. When you can't hear what God, when you can't see what God has said, you can be misled easily by the devil. You can be misled easily by the circumstances. You can be misled easily by even the planning process. And this is why discernment is key. Praise God. Discernment is so key. And contrary to what we sometimes think, that discernment is a special gift, all right? It is only based upon, hear this evening, that your discernment now is based upon whether you are able to see what God has said or not. If you can see with clarity the will of God, if you can understand with clarity the will of God, it becomes easier for you to discern what is in that will and what is not. Are we together now? As we were saying, it is not wrong to plan. Now, verse 21 says, they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came to Hebron. Verse 23, and they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they tore it between two on a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. So they got to a place, they cut down some grapes which were nice, and they brought it down. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Now they had gone, they searched, and then they came back. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. He brought back word to them and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, this is them. They brought back word. They are testifying to what God has said about the land before they went to see the land. God had told them it's a fat land, it's a prosperous land, filled with milk and honey. And then they came back and said the same thing. Verse 28. They now begin to give another version. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Verse 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land, the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Just like you, just like us today, When we gather information about what we are about to do, when we gather information about the situation, or say, when we are well acquainted with a problem, praise God now, when we are well acquainted with a problem, we usually have all the details about every facet of that problem. And not all these details can agree with what God has said. This man went into the land. They saw for themselves the land. Verse 26. And the result of the gathering knowledge, the result of their information gathering exercise, is that they brought word back to the people. Your situation is bringing back, is telling you something. That problem you are about to solve, that you are gathering information about, the information you are gathering is also telling you something. Praise God. And usually, what it is saying is not the word of God. Praise God. They brought word back to these people, but the word they brought back to them was not the word of God. The word that they brought back was not the word of God. And anything that is not the word of God cannot help you to build faith in God. And if they can't help you to build faith in God, or they can't help you to have faith in God, they can't help you to achieve what God has promised. Praise the Lord. The problem with these guys was that they went there with a blank scope, without a proper understanding of what God intends to do for them. They have heard what God says they want to do, but they did not have a proper understanding. Or should I say, they did not have proper spiritual sense about what God has said. Now, hear this. Point number two. You need a proper framework based upon the word of God before you can begin to gather information. Now, this applies to whether you are trying to gather information about solving a problem, or you are passing a situation that God has said something about, and that situation is contrary to what God has said. The second thing you must remember to this night is that you need a proper framework, a proper scope of understanding that is based upon the word of God before you can begin to pay attention to that situation. We are not saying you should live in denial. We are not saying you should deny what you're going through. We're not saying you should deny your situation. No, 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 no. We're saying before you acknowledge the situation, you first need to acknowledge what God has said and look at the situation from the point of what God has said. This is forward thinking by faith. Praise God. 12 people went down. 10 of them had the wrong scope of understanding. 10 of them had the wrong mentality. 10 of them couldn't even see the promises that God had given to them before they left. So the difference between Caleb, Joshua, and the rest of them was not necessarily that they were whole or they were more spiritual. No, no, that was not the case. The difference between them is that they add a deeper understanding of who God is and what he intends to do for them. Maria said. And it is this understanding, that helped them to see things differently. And by reason of this understanding, even the testimony of God concerning them was that they had a different spirit. Whether you like this, believe this or not, your understanding about the situation matters. Your understanding. This is why. Because your understanding will determine how what you're seeing around you will affect your expectations or not. Are we together? Have I lost anyone? Surely the Amalekites were in the land. Surely the children of Anak were in the land. Surely all of these strong people were there. They were there. For sure. We're not blind. Caleb and Joshua were not in denial. They saw them there. But they believed God. That if God can be right, and the fruit of the land is as God has described, then God will be right in that they are going to overcome. I want to get it now. Verse 30. And the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. He says, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to do what? To overcome it. He says, but the one that went up with him said, we be not able. 10 people said they are not able. 2 guys said we are able. Listen to me. More than what God has said. Point number 3. Your experience will be what you say. Can I repeat this for somebody to hear me very well? More than what God has said, your experience is going to be what you say. And this is what the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So what are you saying about the situation, about that problem? What are you saying about that challenge you're planning to get rid of? You've prayed, you're trusting God. Now you are planning. What are you saying? Because beyond all that God has said, what you are saying matters. Praise God. Verse 32. 31 rather, but the men that went up with him said, we'll be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched to the children of Israel, saying, this land through which we have gone to search it, they said, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereon, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There is a question I would love to ask. 2 now. The first question is, how did they know that the land eats up people? Praise God. How did they know that the land eats up people? That's the first question. The second question is, were they heating up? How did they know? The Bible says that they brought up an evil report of the land. an evil report. So what this means is that the report was influenced by something. Listen to me. If you are not careful in the process of gathering information and planning for what you intend to achieve, you are most likely going to get inspirations and manipulations from the devil for you to begin to see impossibility in what God has said was possible. They said the land is a land that eats up people. Think about it. How can a land that is flowing with milk and honey eat up people at the same time? How can you be thinking that the prophecy, the promises that God has given unto you is bigger than you to carry? How can you be thinking that you are unable to reign on this earth because you are in the human, you are in the body? And so postpone your reigning till heaven. How can you think that God does not want you to enjoy the good things of life, and that poverty is synonymous to Christianity, and poverty is synonymous to holiness? How can you think that it is the will of God for you to remain sick? That it is the will of God for you to remain poor? That it is the will of God for you to remain downtrodden, powerless? You have believed an evil report. Praise God. You have done what? Believed an evil report. The land does not eat up people. The kingdom of God that you are in now does not destroy people, does not render their lives useless. Receiving Christ doesn't make people go backward, doesn't make them experience retrogression. Receiving Christ is not the end of the world. It is not a certificate to remain poor, downtrodden, religious. It is a call to glory. It is a call to the experience, the glorious experience of the sons of God. It is a call to power. It is a call to communion and fellowship with God. Do not believe an evil report. This man believed an evil report. Now, verse 33, the last verse. And then he said, "There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants." And he said, "We were in our own sight as grasshoppers." Can I repeat that? We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Another question. Who told them that they are like grasshoppers in the minds of those giants? Someone asked me that question, I think 4 years ago, that how did they know that these giants saw them like grasshoppers? Who gave them access to the minds of the giants, that they knew what the giants were thinking? And what they discovered was that the giants were thinking that they are like grasshoppers. The answer is no one. They thought, the Bible says that, and we were in our own sight. They thought that they were like grasshoppers and believed that the enemy saw them as grasshoppers. Point number four, how you see yourself matters more than how the enemy sees you. Praise God. This is something you must never forget. How you see yourself matters more than how the enemy sees you. How you see yourself is more important than how the situation The problem sees you. The seven sons of Sceva, the demons saw them. The demons they were trying to cast out saw them. And the demons noticed something off about them. And the demon said, Paul, we know. The Lord Jesus, we know. We recognize his authority when anyone uses it. And then they said, who are you people? And because these seven sons of Sceva saw themselves as nobody, they couldn't respond. I'd like us to know that they could, the demons refused to get out and then beat them because the seven sons of Sceva couldn't respond. Not because the demons could resist the authority of the Lord Jesus, no. But because the seven sons of Sceva couldn't respond. And yes, they couldn't respond because they were not sons of God yet. I mean, even if they were, they couldn't see themselves as one. Now, listen to me. You can't respond the right way as long as you don't see yourself in the right frame. How you respond to situations matters too much. And now, how you respond to situations depends on how you see yourself. The Lord Jesus was sleeping in a boat and they were experiencing serious storms. Praise God. And he was sleeping there, right there in the middle of it. And then they woke him up and said, Master, care you not that we're going to die? Don't you care that we're going to die? And then he looks at them and says, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. And he calmed the storm. He responded. He could have woken up and said, oh, there's a storm going on. Oh, this is so serious. Now I have to talk to my father. And then we begin to say, Father, couldn't have said Father in the name of Jesus. We could have said, Father, do something about the storms. You know, you wouldn't want me to die. You have sent me to die on the cross, not in the storm. But surely the Lord Jesus didn't pray like that. The Lord Jesus said, storm, peace, be still. And the storm ceased. He responded. When he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, he reacted at first. He wept. But still, he responded. So you also must respond. You have reacted enough to your situation. You have reacted enough to that sickness. You have reacted enough to that mess you found yourself in. You have lamented about it. You have cried to God about it. When will you start responding? You have reacted enough to that loss you had. When will you start responding? I was speaking with someone earlier today, and she shared something with me, something so deep that is causing her spirit to break from within. But glory to God. We looked at the word together. And I said something simple to her, that how you see yourself will determine how you are going to respond to this problem. And I'm telling you again this evening that how you see yourself will determine how you will respond to the situation. If you see yourself as weak, powerless, you will respond as a weak and powerless person. But if you respond as someone that is filled with the wisdom of God, if you see yourself as someone that is filled with the wisdom of God, you will respond with the wisdom of God. These guys saw themselves as grasshoppers, and they responded as grasshoppers. They behaved as grasshoppers. Numbers chapter 14:1. And he said, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Point number 5. In the process of gathering ye information, or in the process of your planning, the information you've been exposed to, the insights you have had about the issue can be overwhelming, but you must never react. Can I repeat that? It can be overwhelming, but you must never react. I use the word never because when a man begins to react, he is prone to continue the reaction until somebody comes by to tell him to stop reacting. Now, people won't always come to you to tell you to stop reacting. So don't react in the first place. Praise God. Now, a reaction can be in any form. These people reacted. They began to cry. They wept that night. And the people, verse 2, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? Like the same thing we're saying today in prayer. These people complain to God in their reaction. They complained about God to God. Praise God. They've complained about Moses, Aaron, and God to God. They reported God to himself. Just like the same way you are also doing in prayers today. Are we not crying to God and telling him that our experience is different from what he has promised? Telling him that he is a liar. Telling him that his word is not true. Even in our prayers. Thinking that when he sees our cries, he's going to do something. You are merely reacting. I repeat, you are merely reacting. They complain to God the same way men complain now. They complained about God. The very same way we complain in prayer today. Forgetting that we are meant to respond and not react. Verse 3. And why has the Lord brought us? Praise God. And why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. They wanted to go back. Are you also looking at the mountain ahead of you and thinking about going back? You looked at a challenge standing right in front of you and you wanted to go back. You begin to feel that maybe it was better for you to have kept your job than listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and take on this new assignment. You begin to think that maybe you would have been better off if you were doing something else. Because just what God is asking you to do has not been so profitable, has been so challenging. You begin to think, you begin to imagine, maybe if I could just turn back. These people wanted to go back. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke to all the camp, saying, "The land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land." This man held on to their testimony. A whole generation of people and two people held onto their testimonies. Two people. This is to tell you that God is not about the majority. One person that is right is enough for God. Doesn't matter how many people are wrong. Doesn't really matter. And that's it. He says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which flows with milk and honey. These men were speaking with understanding that if the Lord delights in us, he is able to do what he has said. And verse 9, he says, only rebel you not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. There is something I want you to focus on in verse 8. Caleb and Joshua had a particular understanding that was rare in their days and even more scarce in these days. They said something profound. If the Lord delights in us. Another English word for delight is pleased. That is, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will do what is promised. Praise God. And how do we get God to be pleased with us? Point number 6. How do we get God to be pleased with us? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It says, now the just shall faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In simple English, live by faith, I'll be pleased with you. If you draw back, I will not be pleased with you. It requires faith to please God. Point number 6. The guarantee of what God has promised you is faith. So, in the process of gathering all of your information and planning, you must never let the information shake your faith, move your faith, edit your faith. You must not believe a report that is contrary to what God has said. It can be so costly. Ask Moses. It cost them hundreds of thousands of lives. You can ask Moses. It cost them hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of lives. Because they didn't know that what it requires to experience what God has said is to please Him. And to please God, you need faith for that. To please God, you need faith for that. To please God, you need faith for that. Don't forget, we're talking about how to blend planning and faith. That's point number six, right? To please God, you need faith. Now, let's continue. Verse 9 says, rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. God is saying again today that if you will believe Him, the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more. If you believe Him, that mountain will be moved when you speak to it, and it shall be cast into the sea. If you believe Him, that situation is going to be solved. If you believe Him, that battle is over. That storm is over. Because you have already overcome. Fear not your enemies. Fear not your situation. For you have already overcome. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that you have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And God will not allow you to be tempted. That's another scripture. Beyond what you can bear. And we also make a way for you to get out of the situation. So one thing you need to hold dear, even as you are planning, is that you are not planning so that you can know the efforts to win. No. You are planning so that you can enjoy a good victory that has been wrought for you already. I want to get it now. And all the congregation bade them with stones, and the glory of God appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to them. Praise God. We're looking now. From verse 20. And God was exceedingly angry, and God intended to kill all of them because He was not pleased with them at once. But Moses begged God. And the Bible says in verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. He says, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 13, depicts this situation in a very scary way. He says they were unable to enter into the rest because of unbelief. That is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief. These men couldn't experience God because they didn't believe God. And verse 24, God said, my servant Caleb, which I swore to my father, because he had another spirit with him, rather, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. Praise God. Let's look at verse 27 now. Now, it says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? God was speaking to Moses and Aaron now, which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. And say to them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. I want somebody to hear this. As surely as I live, as you have spoken to my ears, so will I do to you. As you have spoken. Point number 7. Make sure that at the end of all of your planning, it is helping you, or it has helped you to amplify your faith, and you can agree with what God has said. That is to say, make sure that the communication of your mouth agrees with what God has said. Because at the end of the day, you can have what you say. Praise God. That is not how I intended to put it. What I intended to say is that at the end of the day, you will only have what you see. Beyond your praying, beyond your crying, beyond the number of hours you spend praying, beyond the praying in the spirit, you will only have what you see. You will only have what you say. What are you saying? You will only have what you say. If what you say does not agree with what God has said, you will have what you say. But if what you say agrees with what God has said. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1 says something. It says, who has known the mind, it says, who has believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? Who is the person that believes our report? Anyone that believes the report of God, it says the hand of God will be revealed to such a person. If you believe God's report, you can speak what he has said. So the best way to combine planning and faith is to remember that before you begin to plan, you must have the framework of understanding based upon what God has said before you begin to plan. You must have seen what God has said first, so that in the midst of all of your planning and information gathering, you can only see possibilities. And at the end of it all, you can say what God has said. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus. Once again, let me repeat. This is going to be the last statement I'm making. I mean, last point I'm making this evening. That you can have what you say. You can always have what you say. You will always have what you say. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is not limited by your praying. He is not limited by your thinking. But it says, your experience of God is limited by the power that you are able, that is at work in you. Your experience of God is limited by how well you are able to use the power that is at work in you. And the power that is at work in you requires faith. And if you have faith, you will speak. Before expectations, faith speaks. Again, what are you saying? Are you calling yourself a low life or a victorious person? Are you calling yourself powerless or someone that is filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you called yourself someone suffering from addiction or someone that is set free by the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus? What exactly are you calling yourself? What are you saying? What are you saying? I expect you to begin to say what God has said into your life now. I expect you to begin to say what God has said. What are you saying? My testimony is that I am born of God. I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. My testimony is that I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. My testimony is that I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. My testimony is that I have more than enough. My testimony is that I am the head and not the tail. This is my testimony. Remember, you can have what you say. I have the mind of Christ. The Lord has established me as a holy people unto himself. Even as I walk in his ways and obey his commandments, I am completely filled with God. Even as Christ's fullness overflows within me. You can have what you say. I lack nothing. I live in abundance. The victory that Christ Jesus brought to me cannot be overtaken by anything. You can have what you say. I am treading upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing can buy enemies on me. Remember, you can have what you say. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. Don't forget, you can have what you say. Do not forget. I am born of God. I'm a spirit being. I manifest the fruits of the Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can be impossible for me to do. Nothing can withstand me. You can have what you say. Continue making your declarations along with what God has said. Continue making those declarations. Continue making those declarations. I'm not asking you to pray in the Spirit. Say what you want to have. Say what you want to have. Say what you want to have. Say what you want to have.